All right, well, I'm excited to introduce our speaker tonight. This will be the first time that I've heard him preach, as well as many of you. Some of you have heard him preach over the years, and but I know that we're in for a treat tonight. Brother Lake met him, I don't know, some time ago. We met because he reached out to me and wanted to meet us, and so that was a blessing, and then we went out to eat shortly after that, and spent some time together and gotten to know him. And of course, many of you know him as they've been able to come on Sunday nights. Thankful for him. The man has been in the ministry for more years than I am old. And I'm grateful for him and his faithfulness to the ministry and his faithfulness to be preaching all these years. And just been plugging away here in the area for over four decades, correct? Just in this area. And then I know that he was an assistant as well in a couple of different places. But very grateful for him. Excited to have him preach for us tonight. Brother Lake, why don't you come at this time and give him your undivided attention. And Brother Lake, thank you so much for your faithfulness and work.
First of all, I want to say that I'm thankful for this church. You've been a real friend to my wife and I, and we enjoy our time over here. I don't like to be away from church. I came here the second Sunday of November in 1981. I was 35 years of age. The church had about 150 people in it, and 9 months later, a tornado ripped the building to pieces. And I've had a lot of experience from that result. I cried the first hour, and I've been shouting ever since. We had great services on Sunday night, and it was Monday morning when all this took place. And I don't know if you can understand it unless you can visualize the preacher pulling onto the church property and seeing the building just in all kinds of pieces, and you've just had some tremendous services. But God seen us through it, and 42 years later, I'm still preaching. So I love your preacher and appreciate him, but I'm not your preacher. I'm just an old-fashioned, independent, Bible-believing Baptist. I hate religion, but I love this Bible, and I'm here to preach. All righty. I want you to turn tonight to 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. God has allowed me to catch certain characters in the Bible at times and meditate on their life, and this is not anything different. God gave me this message, maybe 6 months ago, and I hope and trust it'll be a blessing to you. 2 Samuel chapter 18, beginning in verse number 1. Let's stand together, please, as we honor God's word. And I will be pausing at times because there's some fantastic thoughts and principles in here that I want you to catch. Here we go. And David numbered the people that were with him, and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, and Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. So David has three main men, and the third one is a Gentile. He's a Philistine. There's a beautiful picture here how God saves the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And by the way, God puts them to work, and God uses them. But the people answered, Thou shalt not go forth. For if we flee away, they will not care for us, neither if half of us die will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us, Therefore, now it is better that thou succorest out of the city. By the way, that means David probably had half of the army that he needed physically. And the king said unto them, what seemeth you best, I will do. And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. Wake up and pay attention to that statement. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. So the people went out into the field against Israel. And Israel are the followers of Absalom. And the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David. And there was there a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. The enemy lost 20,000 men. Verse 8, for the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule. Wait a minute. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, Absalom had a chariot. He had horses. And he had over 50 men that ran before him. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. He's fighting God. See, David is God's anointed king. You better not mess with God's anointed king. I love verse 9 here. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. Isn't God humorous at times? But God also was working in the woods there. I mean, God's the one that devoured the enemy. And God had a perfect why in that tree to catch his neck. And the Absalom that used to be so proud of his beauty and his long hair, when they cut his hair at the end of every year, it was over 6 pounds, and he was proud of his long hair. Well, what do you think's happening to his hair now? It's the wind's blowing it, it's twisting around the tree, and the mule goes on, and he's dangling. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, and behold, thou sawest him, and why dost thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. And the man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life, for there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldst have set thyself against me. All right, tonight, I want us to concentrate on a certain man. A certain man. Dear Heavenly Father, bless, anoint your word. Holy Spirit, get a hold of every word, every thought that needs to be expressed. Lord, for those hearts tonight that may not be saved, they don't know for sure they're going to heaven. May you tug and work in their hearts. Lord, for those that are saved, may we have a hunger to be a great witness for you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Specifically used to be a witness. There's 4 types here that I want you to consider. First of all, you have King David, and he's a type of Jehovah God. He is the king, amen? And isn't just Jehovah the King of kings and Lord of lords? All right, the second character I want you to notice is Absalom. Absalom is a no good, sorry son of King David that has so much hatred in his heart that he wants to kill his father and take over his throne. He's a picture of the lost. Then we have Joab. Joab is one of David's three generals that David trusts, and yet Joab is a picture of a carnal Christian. And then I see a certain man. A certain man is a type of a spiritual witness for God. First of all, we see a witness that knew God's calling. A witness that knew God's calling. Verse 10 says, and a certain man. That word certain there stands for the number one. There was just one man. But that's all God needed. And I want to encourage you tonight to realize that you ought to crave to be that certain man, that certain woman that God can use. I checked it out, and it's interesting. But a certain man, that phrase is in the Bible 31 times. Let me give you a few of those 31 times. Manoah, who was Samson's father, was referred to as a certain man. Elkanah, Samuel's father, was referred to as a certain man. The one that smote Ahab, we don't know who he was, but he was a certain man that drew a bow at venture. The father who was a son of a lunatic was referred to as a certain man. The father that had two sons and he sent them out into the vineyard was referred to as a certain man. The maniac of Gadara, although the Bible calls him Legion, that's the demon that used that terminology, all we know is he was a certain man. The Good Samaritan, the victim, was a certain man. At the Great Supper, the host was referred to as a certain man. The father of the prodigal son was referred to as a certain man. The man that was laid at the pool of Bethesda, having an infirmity for 38 years, was a certain man. Lazarus is referred to as a certain man. The lame man laid at the gate of the temple in Acts chapter 3 was a certain man. Ananias, who sold a possession and lied about how much it was to the church, he was a certain man. And then Cornelius, an Italian, a devout man, is referred to as a certain man. Now, I don't want to leave you ladies out, but I did some research and discovered that a certain woman is only in the Bible 8 times. Here's a few of the examples. The woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years, a certain woman. Martha received Jesus into her house, is referred to as a certain woman. The mother of Timothy, although we don't know who she was, but she was referred to as a certain woman. And then Lydia, the seller of purple, in Acts 16, is referred to as a certain woman. I hope tonight you'd have a craving in your heart to be that certain person for the Lord. When God made you, when he made me, he threw away the mold. And he needs you just like you are. This certain man didn't leave us any background information, but he certainly must have had a good home. Did you notice? He had biblical principles, and he had a tremendous attitude and a fear of the Word of God. Was he a civilian? We don't know. Was he one of Joab's soldiers? We don't know. But you and I are encouraged to meditate on God's Word, and when I did, you know who I think he possibly was? Cushai. Now you just chew on that and read the rest of the chapter, and he's, by the way, the word Cushai is like Pharaoh. It's not a name, it's a title. And he was just a servant. But he's the one that Joab asked to be a runner to go to King David and tell him what happened in the battle. But we do know that he's God's servant. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29 says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." He was a witness. He was a witness that knew God's calling. By the way, I'd like to pause for a few moments now and encourage you. Your salvation experience is one of the greatest things that you can ever go through during your lifetime. The day you got saved, man, I'll never forget it. I even took my wife to Rock Island, Illinois, 1 year, and it's not a church anymore. It's a gambling hall for the vets. But I had to take her in the vending room that used to be the preacher's office, and I showed her the spot on the floor where I gave my heart to Jesus. But you know what the greatest experience after that was for me? I was going to Bible college telling God what he was going to do with my life. I wanted to be a great music director in a church. 1 year later, somebody asked me to go to the New Testament Baptist Church and hear John L. Rice. And when I did that night, I ran to the altar and soaked it and gave my life totally over to God. That's the kind of witness God wants you to be. Then secondly, a witness that experienced God's timing. A certain man saw it. Man, that's God's perfect timing. If you and I would take a few moments, you can think of times that it had to have been God because the timing worked out so well. He was in the right place at the right time. When he got to that place in the woods, he looked up and he's the one that witnessed Absalom hanging in that oak. That reminds me of the great story of Philip and the eunuch over in Acts chapter 8. Philip was holding a tremendous revival meeting, and the Holy Spirit of God said, "Shut it down and go out into the desert." And I can imagine Philip going out into the desert, standing on the street corner, and there's no traffic and there's nobody coming, and maybe wondering, did I really hear the Holy Spirit of God? But as he's standing there, he looks up and he sees the dust of the sand blowing in the desert, and he knows that somebody's coming. And when that person got closer, he was able to not only see that he was a eunuch and to see that he had important a responsibility to take care of the queen's possessions, but he noticed he also had a book in his hand, and the book happened to be a part of the Bible, and the book happened to be the book of Isaiah, and he just happened to be reading Isaiah chapter 53. And Philip said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man showed me?" And then Philip jumped up in the chariot and began to preach to him about Jesus. And as they went on the way, the eunuch got a little bit ahead of himself. He must have heard this or experienced it somewhere. But he looks up and says, "See, here is water. What to hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Whoa, stopped the chariot. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and baptized him. I challenge you to find sprinkling anywhere in that story. Perfect timing. Perfect timing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 14 and verse 41. "And he cometh the third time there in the Garden of Gethsemane and saith unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest, it's enough. The hour is come, behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." And then I love Galatians 4:4-5. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Jesus came right on time, God's timing. And what this certain man witnessed, God had already witnessed it. God, listen, you don't fight God and get away with it. What he saw was a tragedy. Get this. This certain man saw a man hanging in a tree. When I got saved, I saw a man hanging on a tree. Oh, scripture preacher? Okay. Acts chapter 5, verse 30. "And God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree." Galatians 3:13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." But see, this man was totally surrendered to God's call, to God's will. And that's why God used him. I had a preacher's wife twist my arm when I was probably 9-10 years old. And she said, "You ought to memorize Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I took her up on it. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may know what is that perfect will of God." Totally surrender to God. When I was in my first year of Bible college, somebody told me, "You need to go to the High Street Baptist Church and see an unusual evangelist. His name is Richard Dale Miller. He was born with no arms and no legs." I said, "You have got to be kidding. I've never seen anything like..." He said, "Go to High Street Baptist Church. He's got an afternoon session, and you'll be able to see." Well, High Street Baptist Church, way back in the early 60s, ran a couple thousand people at Springfield. So here I am in this big auditorium, and it was time to start. and I looked back down the main aisle, and here's a man moving his arms and dragging his stubs of his legs. And he came down the aisle. He got up on the platform, and they had a mic for him. And this is what he sang. Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee. My eyes of faith, I see you on the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord, I cry, let me your servant be. Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. Even though it's humble, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. You know, I met Brother Miller's a few years later. I pastored the Tioga Baptist Church the Rolling Acres Baptist Church in Tioga, Louisiana. And I had him come and hold a Sunday service for us. And he had the most beautiful wife that God gave him. And I don't have time to give her testimony, but she said God touched her and said that she was to marry Richard Miller. And they had a beautiful little girl. I wonder what God can do with you if you would let him have his will in your heart and mind. Then thirdly, a witness followed God's method. What is God's method? That when you witness something, you go to the higher authority. And that's exactly what this man did. He didn't go to another Christian. He didn't go to the government. He went to a higher authority. And he probably was one of Joab's soldiers, but anyhow, he goes to Joab. God wants us to go to the right authority, amen? If you have a spiritual question, you ought to go to your preacher. If you've got a toothache, don't go to the veterinarian. If you've got a plumbing problem, don't call the doctor. Go to the right authority. And expect the right authority to be dedicated and true. This certain man had every right to believe that Joab would listen and do what was right. Your pastor, you ought to be able to trust him. And your Lord and Savior, you ought to be able to trust him. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Then a witness discovered corrupted leadership. He thought Joab was going to be the right place to take what he witnessed. And he had every right to believe that. He was one of David's officers. But he found out he was corrupted. And he said, behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, and behold, thou sawest him. Why dost thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. And of course, a girdle is a belt or an apron or a part of an armor. Joab's supposed to be a servant of the king. Listen, here's a quick little outline that'll help you, and then we'll proceed. Joab, listen to the word of God. Joab knew the word of God. Joab willingly rejected the word of God. John 14, 15 simply says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He's one of the trusted leaders that David has. What's really sad is verse 2. Excuse me, well, he's one of the trusted leaders there. But he was also willing, if you take the next few verses, he's willing because this certain man rejected Joab's offer, but he discovered that what Joab was actually doing was trying to buy him out. I'm going to bring this up just a little bit later, but what price would you be willing to accept to denounce the word of God? Matthew 23, 13, when Jesus is referring to the religious crowd, he said, but woe unto you, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are entering to go in. That's what it is. Joab's got some phony beliefs, and he's trying to convince the certain man to accept that. But then, number five, I see a witness made use of God's opportunity. Verse 12. And the man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Here's a witness that took a firm stand. He sold out to obey the king. I don't make any apologies, but when I talk to people, I tell them, I'm just an old-fashioned, Bible-believing Baptist preacher. Religion either adds to or takes away from the Bible. I'm going to be an old-fashioned preacher. He sold out to obey the king. And I see that he's not afraid of man. He's looking right into the eyes of Joab. And he's telling him, go ahead, raise the price. See if I budge. You're not going to get me to denounce the king's word. No fear of man. And each person knew exactly what the king had said. By the way, this just fits in here. Again, it says that everyone heard the word of the king. I want to give you something to chew on here. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. If you're not saved tonight, there's only one reason that God will put you in hell. It's not because you don't know the truth. It's because you reject the truth. Romans 1:20 makes it clear that God will deal with every heart. And somewhere, if that person is interested, like Cornelius, God will send them the gospel and they only go to hell by rejecting the word of God. Man, it got quiet. Then I see in verse 13, a witness accepted the truth of God's word. Otherwise, I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life, for there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself would have set thyself against me. This certain man knew the importance of living righteously. Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." And of course, God's omniscience. Not only does it say, "For there is no matter hid from the king," I'm not sure David always heard everything, but I know Jesus does. You're not going to get by with anything. It says in 1 John 1:20, "For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than a heart and knoweth all things." Now, I want you to catch this. Number 7. "Oh, preacher, I would love to be a great witness for God, but I'm afraid someone's going to hurt me." Well, I've been a witness here for 42 years and nobody's shot me yet. Now, it could happen. I got on the computer the other day because I was curious where Richard Miller is at. Is he still in evangelism? In his elder years, now he's 4 years older than me, in his elder years, remember now, no arms, no legs, in his elder years, he decided to move to Mexico because the United States would not give him any kind of, what do you call that? Starts with D. Disability. They wouldn't give him any kind of disability. So he moves to Mexico, and in 2020, outside the front of his house, he was murdered. But you know what he was doing till his dying day? Taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You ought to meditate on verse 13, because he knew if he would have disobeyed the king and killed Absalom himself, Joab would have killed him. Because Joab's a hypocrite. He was unashamed to tell it like it is to men as they are. He just simply was willing to do his best. At what price would you willingly disobey the word of God for? I think some of the final words of this certain man never left the mind of Joab. "And the man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged thee and Abishai and Attai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom." And if you know the rest of the story, Joab goes out, ignores the witness, ignores the word of God, and he shoots 3 spears into the middle of Absalom as he's hanging from the tree. And just in case that didn't work, Joab had 10 men to finish him off. A young man enlisted and was sent to his regiment. The first night he was in the barracks with about 15 other young men who passed the time playing cards and gambling. Before retiring, he fell on his knees and prayed, and they began to curse him and to jeer at him and to throw boots at him. So it went on the next night and the next, and finally the young man went and told the chaplain what had taken place and asked what he should do. By the way, I'll just throw this out. I couldn't be a chaplain. I'm going to tell it like it is. But anyhow, he wanted to know what to do. "Well," said the chaplain, you are not at home now. And the other men have just as much right to the barracks as you have. It makes them mad to hear you pray, and the Lord will hear you just as well if you say your prayers in bed and don't provoke them. For weeks after, the chaplain did not see the young man again. But one day he met him and asked, "By the way, did you take my advice?" "I did for two or three nights." "How did it work?" "Well," said the young man, "I felt like a whipped hound, and the third night I got out of bed and knelt down and prayed." "Well," asked the chaplain, "how did that work?" The young soldier answered, "We have a prayer meeting there now every night, and three have been converted, and we are praying for the rest." Listen, God is sick and tired of weak Christianity. We need to be a certain man, a certain woman, that'll stand up and let others know, without Jesus Christ, there's a devil's hell that you'll have to enter into for all eternity. Paul said, I'll sum it up with this: I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let's stand together. What kind of character are you in the story now? Are you an Absalom that's fighting God? Are you a Joab that's a phony Christian? Or are you a certain man, a certain woman? Or do you have a hunger to be that certain man or certain woman that'll be a great witness for God? There's no better time than right now to make that decision. Which would you rather be? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for a certain man, a certain woman. May we determine tonight, even though persecution may come, we're going to stand for our Lord, because who can threaten us with heaven? Lord, I love you and all that you've done. And may we not hesitate to be obedient to your call tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.